Hey, and welcome back to the Male Infertility Podcast. This is episode 5, and I'm your host, Nick. If you've been listening to the podcast, then you'll know about mine and the wife's journey, and our ups and downs, and what we've had to deal with. And you'll also know that last time I did an episode, the ball started rolling. So last time we spoke, basically, we had done our first counselling session, and obviously we had our second one. We've then been for a consultation with the consultant, and he explained everything, went through the timeline of how everything's going to happen and so on. And since then, the wife has been in for a scan, a follicle scan, and bit of good news anyway. It was at 18, and it has to be over 5. So we absolutely, she absolutely smashed it. So that's fantastic anyway. And it's just a relief, I'll be honest. After everything that's happened, after all this time, it's such a relief to have some good news. Obviously, it doesn't mean, doesn't promise us that we're going to have a baby or anything. But at the same time, it's nice to know that, there's a bit of good luck going around every now and again. So so now we will go back in, and we will be having a, to do with the injections. So she's going to have some injections in the morning for a certain amount of time. And then, basically we're going in for them to give us a tutorial on how to do it properly. And then we're going to do it. And we've decided we're going to go on this cycle. So everything's going to happen before Christmas, which is kind of crazy. Yeah, we've waited so long. Obviously, not just in the last 2 years, but in general, I'm 35 and I'm so ready. You know what I mean? I'm so ready to have kids. So for me to, it just feels good. It really does. And I can't be asked to put it off any longer. I know Christmas coming up, and for me personally anyway, it's a really busy time because I'm in the restaurant industry and hospitality industry. So it's pretty busy. But at the same time, I don't want to wait around. I don't want to wait anymore. I've waited long enough. Why put it off? You know what I mean? So we're going for it anyway. So it could happen. The extraction could be happening a week before Christmas, I think it is. So we'll be finding out pretty close, maybe in between, Christmas, New Year sort of time. I don't know exactly on the timings, but I think we've kind of worked out it. We could potentially be finding out on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. It's nice to know that the ball is actually rolling. And you're not just waiting for results after results, months on end. It's so frustrating and boring as well. It's obviously in this day and age, everybody wants everything really fast, real quick. But you do, don't you? You do, don't you? You don't want to wait 3 months for results. You want to find out in the shortest amount of time possible so you can just get cracking with it. Just get it rolling. But anyway, it is rolling, and that's what matters. And hopefully it is for you guys too. But now I'm going to jump into the crux of the episode, which is going to be part 2 of my donor sperm thoughts. So, without further ado, here we go. In the first episode, I was talking about we were talking about what we wanted from the donor, what he would maybe look like, that sort of thing. And obviously since then, we've had the second counselling session, and obviously we have now picked our donor. And so I want to talk a bit about that. Then I also want to talk about how it would have made, how I felt when I originally found out that I did have azoospermia, and not just my perspective, but the wife's perspective as well, because I think that's an interesting way of looking at it. There's so many thoughts that go through your head, as everybody knows who's in, on this journey. I just want to get everything off my chest and to express myself and to make you guys understand where I'm coming from and potentially where your partner's coming from as well. Because having the male perspective is just as important as having the female perspective. And I know there's not that many male infertility podcasts out there, which is why it's a major deal for me to get this across and hopefully for more people to listen to it. Because the more you can understand about the male side of things, I think the easier it'll be. I mean, I'm not saying it's easy. It's going to be easy, but I'm saying it could potentially be easier because you can now understand both sides. I mean, if you don't talk about it, I mean, I wonder how many blokes are out there who've gone down my route and who haven't spoken about how they feel. They've kept it bottled up inside, and then maybe something's gone wrong down the line because they weren't prepared to talk about it, even in private. You know what I mean? They may have not had a chat with their wife or their partner or whatever, and then got down the line. And things have just crumbled because they haven't been able to express themselves. So I'm hoping that, well, to get my side of it across, and hopefully it just all helps. That is literally everything that I want to do with this, is just help as much as I can. Right, I'll start off. So talking about picking the donor sperm. When we went for our second counselling session, I had to sign all the paperwork, and so did the wife as well. And once that was all sorted, we picked out the donor. There were, I want to say, 8 or 9 on the spreadsheet on the computer. And as I spoke about in the last episode, my characteristics, 6'6", 1, kind of athletic-ish. Well, maybe not so much now, but kind of light brown, blondy hair, blue eyes, that sort of thing. So we started going through the list, and the counselor was like reeling them off, and she was like 5'7", dark hair. No. 5'9", dark hair, dark eyes. No. 5'3", I think it was, or something like that. Dark hair again. So we ended up getting down to... There were two choices in the end, and we went for, well, we went for the one that was closest to me. So there was no Argos catalog, if everyone knows what an Argos catalog is. I don't know if that's over in America, but there was no like flicking through the book and you're like, yeah, he looks good. Definitely want him. He's going to be a doctor one day. None of that shenanigans. There were a few bits like that we could have asked, probably more questions we could have asked to get more information. But from our perspective, we ended up knowing what we wanted to know. And that was what was important. We can always go back. That's a good thing about it. We can always go back and find out more information if we'd like to in the future. And also, we could also potentially take the kid down there one day as well, because if they wanted to know, because it's fairly open. I mean, if they want to do that, they want to do that. But yeah, it is what it is. So that was basically the picking of the donor sperm. So we were happy with it in the end. We only went ahead with it because we both decided that was what we wanted to do. Obviously, hopefully the guy has got big hands. So well, if it's a boy, I don't want a girl having massive hands. But, but anyway, so that was all of that done. So now I'm going to move on to feelings of well, coming to terms with the fact that you are going to have to use a donor sperm, or should I say, a donor and his sperm. And, well, I remember a few, in fact, it was probably just after finding out that I had the azoospermia, and then we were talking about it on the way back to the train station and talking about it the following week. And obviously we decided we were going to go down the donor route. And then obviously speaking to the doctor who had performed the surgery on me and told him that we wanted to go down the donor route as well. So for me personally, it was an easy decision to make that we wanted to go down that route. But obviously, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, are you sure you want to do this, Nick? Sure you want to do it? You want to go down this route? But ultimately, it is what I wanted to do and what we wanted to do, because I wanted the wife to go through the experience of being pregnant and getting childbirth and all that stuff, because I think it's only right that she can, you know what I mean? I don't want her to, we could have gone down the adoption route, but we wanted to go down this route anyway, so we did. And obviously you do have your feelings about it, and like, what are they going to be like? Who is the donor? And obviously they all get vetted and all the checks and stuff that get done. And obviously it's like the sperm's completely legit. It's like you've not just, you know, found some random guy and he's just jizzed in a test tube in some random toilets or anything. It's literally completely like tested to the max. And that's a relief, to be fair, knowing that there's not going to be anything being passed down from their side to the child. That is a relief. Because you're always going to know that the child was donor conceived. And it is my child, it will be my child and the wife's child. But there's always going to be people who are going to make stupid comments, ignorant comments down the line, if/maybe they find out about it or so on. And now that doesn't bother me, but I don't want it to affect the kid in any way. I don't want him to feel less loved or less appreciated, because if anything, I think it's the opposite, literally. You know what I mean? It's like, you can have a kid, well, you could have a kid that's, a complete like accident. You're not planning the baby and it comes along, and maybe it's not loved that much by their parents. But one thing I know that people going through this journey is the reason why they go through this journey and the heartache of not being able to do it naturally is because we really want children. And that's why we're doing it. That's why we talk about it. So that's why I talk about it. And there's so many people online who talk about it. And that's why we are like so supportive of each other. I think because we all realize that we're so desperate to be parents, that the child is going to be so loved. And that means more than anything. You know what I mean? So the last thing I want is for people to randomly like say stuff. You know what I mean? Whether it's another kid who doesn't really know what they're talking about, and they may make some nasty comments if their parents tell them, oh, their child was donor conceived or whatever. I said, oh, your dad isn't your real dad. I bloody well am. You know what I mean? So, and that's all that matters. So moving on now. A few of the maybe like insecurities that you have of maybe, not so much of like everything I've spoke of so far. It's just the, you know, I did speak about it a bit in the last episode of like your like nationalities and stuff. Because obviously, as you know from my last episode, I have mixed European blood in me. And there was nothing more than I would like to have passed that down to my children. And I can't do it, obviously, biologically, but I definitely can do in a, just like the way you act around them. Obviously, they won't have any like Latvian or like Yugoslav, Serbian blood in them, Croatian or whatever, but you can still like, you're going to treat them the way you do anyway, like you would do anyway, sorry. But I think it's more of not so much, it's hard to explain. For me, it's obviously like, I don't know, not, it wasn't like drilled into me like that I'm like of mixed blood or anything, but I do feel very passionate about that just as much as I do that I'm English. So I don't know, I can't really explain that one off the top of my head, I'll be honest, but I'm sure people listening, you'll be able to understand if you're maybe American or if you're like Italian American and so on, or anything like, you know what I mean? It is hard to describe, but, and I'm doing a really, really poor job of doing it, but I'm not going to edit this out. I'm going to leave this in because I just want you to hear how I'm feeling and how raw I'm being. So that's that basically. But okay. So at the end of the day, we go down the donor sperm route because we want children, and we have definitely made the right choice. I'm very happy about it. I'm confident. The wife is confident, and hopefully things will go right. I mean, it's difficult facing all these hard times, but at the end of the day, you just got to keep going until it pays off, haven't you? Just like anything. But this means a little bit more. So I'm going to wrap the episode up now. Just in case anyone didn't know, there's a book out there called Three Makes Baby, and they've just released a podcast. I don't have any association with them or whatever, but I have ordered the book for the wife, and I know she's going to be listening to their podcast, and hopefully mine too, actually. Better be listening to mine. Anyway, so that will wrap things up. You can find me in all the usual places, Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, and I'm on Instagram, Nick Denton VA. What else? Facebook. I'm on Twitter as well, Nick Denton VA. Male Infertility Podcast. And once again, please send me a message if you like. You know what I mean? I've had a few more since the last time, and it does make me feel good that people are being brave enough to reach out to me and talk about it. You know what I mean? I'm more than happy to have a conversation with you about it. But anyway, thanks a lot. Thanks for listening. And this is the MIP signing off. See ya.